Family and faithfulness. That's kind of been our theme for the year as we've been thinking about this topic. And our gospel meeting was centered around that theme. And at the beginning of each month, we've had a particular topic that we've discussed in this area. And this morning, we'd like to talk about honesty in our families. And I got to thinking about this topic, and the more I got to thinking about it, the more I realized that this was more than just one lesson. And so basically what we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking at two points in regard to honesty in our families. Number one, why we don't tell the truth to our families sometimes. And then number two, which will be a separate lesson, why we should tell the truth to our families. And so we're going to hit this from both directions then. And this morning we're going to look at why we don't tell the truth. But first of all, let's look at Colossians chapter 3 and verses 9 and 10 and look at the basis for telling the truth to one another as the Bible states it to us here in Colossians chapter 3 and verses 9 and 10. We read, "Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him." Do not lie to one another. You know, Christians are to be people who are honest and who tell the truth and who don't go about lying and not being truthful. You know, lying, Paul tells us here, was part of the behavior of the old man. And that old man died when we were baptized into Christ, and we put that old man away from us. And now we are a new creation that is made after the image of Christ. And one thing that Jesus Christ never did in his life, he never told a lie. And so we can know that that new man is to be one who is to tell the truth. And this applies to our families as well. You know, oftentimes it's members of our own family that we are not truthful with the most. And we don't tell the truth sometimes to our own family members who need it the most. And we do that for various reasons. But why is it so hard, maybe, to be honest with our family members? And what can we do about that? That's what I would like to discuss this morning. So to be honest with our families, we need to understand why we don't tell the truth. And the biggest reason that I can identify that people don't tell the truth is because of fear of one kind or another. Now, there are other reasons that people may not tell the truth. There are those who are considered to be pathological liars. That is, in the sense that they get some kind of joy or some kind of juice or some kind of good feeling out of lying to people. And I just don't think that we have anybody here in that category. Let me just say this, that certainly is a circumstance that needs to be dealt with, and we don't want to neglect somebody who might feel that way. And if you are feeling that way, then we would encourage you to come talk about that. But if you're like most people, most of the time people are not truthful or that they lie is because they are fearful of something. They're afraid of something is going to happen. And so fear is the biggest reason why we don't tell the truth. Oftentimes, it's because we fear other people more than we fear God, you know. And we should be thinking about fearing God first instead of fearing other people. Matthew chapter 10 verse 28 says, "Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell." And so God needs to be the first person we think about fearing when we think about telling a lie or not being truthful or doing something really that we ought not to do. We need to be constantly aware that God is there and God is watching and God is loving and He's forgiving and He's gracious to us, but that we shouldn't take advantage of that by doing something we ought not to do. But fear is a great motivator. But if we will put God first in fearing Him instead of putting people first and fearing them, then we will act more appropriately. You know, the fear of God is different from the fear of people because in some ways the fear of people causes us to do things that we ought not to do. But the fear of God will always cause us to do the things that we ought to do. And so in that regard, we need to fear God first before we fear other people. Another reason that we have fear within our life and that it sometimes motivates us not to be truthful is because we don't understand the power of love. In 1 John 4, verse 18, it says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love." And so when we love one another the way that we're supposed to, we're not going to fear things that might happen as a result of our telling the truth or doing what we should not do. And so we need to love each other more, especially our families, loving them enough to tell them the truth, loving them enough not to lie to them. It actually takes love on our part to be honest with our families. And then also in regard to fear, another reason we have fear in our life is that we don't trust God like we should. In 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, we read, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Do we trust God to have the kind of attitude that we need to have toward our family, the kind of attitude that God wants us to have toward our families? And that is to have that attitude of power and of love and of a sound mind that Paul talks about there. That is a matter of trusting God and doing His will, regardless of what consequences may come our way. Now, having said that fear is the biggest reason that we don't tell the truth, let's talk about some particular kinds of fear that we allow us to justify our not telling the truth or even to justify lying to other people. First of all, let's talk about fear of discovery. Fear of discovery. Some lying results from not wanting our families to find out about some practice that we're engaging in. And usually that is motivated by shame or embarrassment. You know, we're ashamed we're doing this. We're embarrassed we're doing this. And so we won't be honest with our families about it. But shame is really the key culprit here in this regard, because shame usually results in our repeating the same behavior that we're engaging in. You know, because we're ashamed, we won't tell anybody about it. And because we won't tell anybody about it, that means we feel like we can keep repeating that behavior over and over again because it's just something that we do privately. Well, the fact of the matter is that telling the truth about some personal sin that we may be struggling with in our life, telling the truth to one of our family members could actually help us in that regard. You know, confessing our sins one to another and praying for one another. That's what James says we need to do, you know, to be healed from the sin that's within our life. And shame is a very powerful thing that will move us not to change, but to actually continue in the wrong behavior. But when we have faith in Jesus Christ, that will prevent shame from occurring in our life. And you say, well, what do you mean by that? And how can I think about that? Well, think about this. When we deal with the shame that we have for what we're doing wrong, we'll be able to talk to other people about that, and we'll gain strength to fight that wrong behavior in our life, and will help us then not to do that behavior. Okay? And so that is something that we need to trust in God about. Trust that God can help us remove that shame. Trust that God can help us remove that wrong behavior in our life. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 6, Peter writes this, "Therefore it is also contained in Scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame.'" In other words, when we trust in Jesus and we trust what he has done for us and we live according to his word, then that's going to reduce shame in our life. And we will not be put to shame ultimately before the throne of God because we will have trusted in him for our salvation and for living our life. And so it's a good thing to trust in Jesus so we can remove that shame and we can remove the fear of discovery that we might have in that regard. You know, Jesus, it says, bore the shame on the cross so that we wouldn't have to do that. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of the faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God." Now, Jesus bore our sins for us so that we then could be forgiven of those sins, but then to deal with those sins within our life also. He took the shame upon himself so that we don't have to be ashamed in the sense that we won't feel like confiding in others, confessing our sins, telling the truth, as it were, about ourselves and about our lives. We need to tell the truth to others in that regard. We should not fear discovery because we have Jesus on our side. And to be honest with our families, we must put away the fear of discovery and tell the truth. But then also, there is the fear of punishment. You know, some people lie or they don't tell the truth to avoid punishment. Well, the Bible certainly teaches that the wrongdoer should be punished. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 9, it talks about in flaming fire taking vengeance on those who know not God and obey not the gospel, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction. That's what the Bible teaches about those who are impenitent regarding their wrong deeds, regarding their evil deeds. Now, when we talk about lying to avoid punishment, you know, adults really ought to know better than to lie to try to avoid punishment. But, you know, interestingly enough, I was having a conversation with one of the judges the other day that I attend with in Rotary Club, and they were telling me that people lie on the stand all the time, and they think they're going to get away with it. They think they're going to avoid whatever consequences they're trying to avoid from it, but they do. And so people lie to avoid punishment. And but the fact of the matter is that as adults, we need to own up to our own behavior. If we've done something that's wrong that we shouldn't have done, we just need to admit that. We need to confess that. We need to just say, yeah, you know what? I did that. I shouldn't have done it. And I need to do better. And just lay it out there, you know, so that we can deal with it instead of letting the fear of punishment or the fear of consequences control us. Because when we let that fear control us, we're not going to act in the right way. You know, children also oftentimes lie or don't tell the truth because of fear of punishment. They fear what their parents are going to do to them if they tell the truth or if they don't lie, you know. And so they will tell a lie or they won't tell the truth to kind of get out of being disciplined by their parents. Well, we don't want them to do that. But at the same time, the Bible says we're supposed to discipline our parents. And you say, well, this is kind of a difficult situation, you know, when we think about our children fearing punishment. And how do we do this? Well, there's two things. You know, the Bible says, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, "Fathers, provoke not your children unto wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord." Two things. nurture and admonition. Now I want to look at these two things that the Bible tells us and show how if we will apply these two things, we can teach our children that it's not okay to lie and that they should tell the truth and that they shouldn't fear punishment enough so that they will lie or not tell the truth. And it's the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, okay? So number one, the nurture is attention, all right? Children need attention from parents. And they need you parents to be involved all the time. The more attention you give those children, the less likely they're going to be engaging in behavior that's not right. And the more likely that they're going to be doing the right thing. And therefore, they won't have a reason to lie or to not tell the truth to begin with. Okay? So the less attention we give the children, the more they're going to be involved in things that are out of our view, and the more they might want to lie about it or cover it up or not tell the truth about things. And so attention, nurture, and then admonition, and that is discipline. When our children don't tell the truth, they need to know that we're watching, that they have been discovered, that they shouldn't lie about it, that they should tell the truth about it. Yes, they're going to get punished because the Bible says they need to be punished. But at the same time, they need to know that we're watching. So when we lack one of those two things, say for example, we have the discipline, but we don't have the nurture, then or the attention, that's going to encourage our children to try to get away with lying more. Because they're going to think, well, as long as mom and daddy don't see me do it, and I can lie and cover it up, I won't get disciplined. Okay? That's lack of attention with discipline. The other element is also problematic with when you have attention but no discipline. Because when you have the attention but no discipline, what happens? Well, the kids say, oh, mom and daddy see what I'm doing and they don't care. And so now I can just get away with it and do whatever I want. All right? Well, that's not what we want either. Okay? We don't want the kids to think that they can spite their parents. That's why you need the discipline. All right? So you need both. You need both attention and discipline. And doing that will help the kids understand that they've got to tell the truth and they've got to be honest about things. And so these two things, the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. The Lord knows what He's talking about. He understands how to raise children because He made us. And so He wants us to apply both those things, attention and discipline. And when we do that, we will do what is right in regard to dealing with the fear of punishment in our children. So there's a fear of punishment. Some people don't tell the truth. They don't tell their families the truth because they fear punishment. But then there's fear of retaliation. And this is a little different. Fear of retaliation is when you're in a relationship where you think someone else is going to retaliate against you if you tell the truth or if you don't lie about something. And so some people lie or don't tell the truth because they don't want to be retaliated against. Maybe they're in an abusive relationship. And if that's the case, then certainly that needs to stop. And the truth needs to be told in a loving way in that situation. And that can be very, very, very difficult to do. And a lot of times couples will need help doing that. And they can get professional help in that situation. But the truth needs to be told in that situation especially because the abuse will go on further if it is not confronted and if it is not dealt with. But it needs to be done in a loving way. Ephesians 4 and verse 25, therefore putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth to his neighbors, for we are members of one another. Now I want you to listen to that last part of that verse. We are members of one another. Okay? When people fear retaliation, the underlying cause of that is that there's a lack of recognition of community there. That is, there's a lack of recognition of real relationship, real connection. Okay? And that's the problem. That's the underlying problem. We need to understand that we are one. What I do to you, you do to me. What you do to me, I do to you. Okay? As, especially in regard to married couples. The Bible teaches this. Ephesians 5 verse 25. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. All right. Now this is important, gentlemen, because the way you treat your wife is the way you treat yourself. And that is a difficult lesson to learn, but it is something that we need to learn and that we need to practice thinking about how we're going to treat our wives as we treat ourselves. And that is very important. Spouses need to be comfortable talking to one another and telling one another the truth and confiding in one another, because that will make the relationship grow. That will make you come closer together, not further apart. Fear of retaliation is a symptom of a broken relationship and not understanding that we are members of one another. Ephesians 4 verse 25. And so the relationship benefits from telling the truth. And when we don't tell the truth, we just enable whatever bad behavior is going on in that relationship. So tell the truth. Children also need to be comfortable talking to one another about serious issues and not have to worry about being retaliated against. And so if there's fear of retaliation going on, then that needs to be discussed. Fear of rejection is another thing that people often use to lie, as an excuse to lie or as an excuse to not tell the truth. We all want to be accepted. There's no question about that. But fear of rejection, when people start lying or not telling the truth because of fear of rejection, that usually indicates a sense of inferiority to others. And that person needs to understand that they have self-worth, that they're valuable to the Lord, they're valuable to one another, and they're valuable to those with whom they're in a relationship with. That value needs to be affirmed, and it needs to be discussed. We are all made in the image of God. Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. And so we all need to recognize one another's value. We are all worth the blood of Christ. The blood was shed for us, for the forgiveness of our sins. And that is of infinite value. And that's how much God thinks of each one of us. We are valuable. And so to confront the fear of rejection, we need to affirm our worth, our value, and that will then permit us, and we won't be afraid of telling the truth, and we will do that because we won't fear rejection anymore, because we'll think more of ourselves without having to worry about what others think about us. And then there's fear of change. Sometimes we lie or we don't tell the truth because we will be expected to change. You know, that's a big one that a lot of us don't really think about. We think, you know, if I tell the truth about this, then they're going to expect me to change. And I really don't want to change. I want things to go on like they are right now. And so I'm going to tell a lie, or I'm going to deceive so that I don't have to change. Well, that's a very bad attitude. All right. And we need to take ownership of our life. Now, see, that's not taking ownership of your life. That's not being responsible with your life. You need to own up to whatever areas of your life that you need to change, and you need to accept that, and you need to change because Jesus Christ wants you to change in that regard. We've got to embrace the new life that is found in Christ and live for Him. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. And that means that if I'm going back to those old things, That's got to change. I've got to give those things up. We've got to basically let go of self and self's desires and start trusting in Jesus. And when we do that, we will fear change less and less. Paul knew what it meant to change. You know, he was confronted by Jesus on that road to Damascus, and buddy, he had to make some big changes in his life, all right, when that happened. And he did, to his credit, he did. But he said this, he said, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward to those things that are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the high calling that is in Christ Jesus." Philippians 3 verses 13 and 14. He made the changes that he needed to make. And so he was not afraid of change anymore. We don't need to be afraid of change. We just need to do what Jesus tells us to do. And that way, that will help us to tell the truth and not lie to other people. Jesus said this, Revelation 3 verse 19. "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." That word repent means to change. And maybe after this lesson this morning, there's someone here that needs to change because they're letting fear control their life. And as a result of that, they lie, and they don't tell the truth, and they get away with it over and over again because they're not confronting the reality of their situation. You know, fear is something that we need to confront. Fear of discovery, fear of punishment, fear of retaliation, fear of rejection, fear of change. All of these will prevent us from telling the truth to others and to ourselves. If we put those things away from us, we can live for Jesus every single day and have confident lives that are filled with peace and joy and love. And that's really what we all want. But we've got to get rid of the fear first and live for Him. And maybe this morning you need to do that. You need the prayers of the church to do that. And we're certainly willing to pray with you. Maybe you need to come talk to one of our elders. Or maybe you would like to talk to me about that. That'll be fine. If anyone needs to talk, come and let's discuss it and work it out. And we can work through it. With Jesus' help, we can work through it. But maybe there's someone here this morning that thinks, you know, I have been living a lie my whole life and I need to give myself to Christ. I need to stop living this way. Stop letting fear control me. Well, this morning you can make that change in your life by listening to the Word of God and believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as Lord, and being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. That's the greatest change that you can make today. And if you will do that this morning, we will help you in your steps forward to be a faithful child of God. That's what we want. Every single one of us who are members of the church here, that's what we want. And we want you to take that step this morning. And you can do so now, while together we stand and while we sing.